The holiday season is upon us, and that means it's time for many of us to make one of the most peculiar purchases of the year, a live Christmas tree. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. DNR District Forester Mark Vitosh is here, and we're going to talk about Christmas trees. First, we'll get some background on how they're grown, find out how to pick just the right tree for your home, how to take care of that tree once you get it home, and we'll also talk about how the drought may have affected the Christmas tree crop for this year and into the future. Horticulturist Richard Giron from Iowa State Extension will also be here. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and we're going to start the hour with a conversation about Christmas trees. In a few minutes, horticulturist Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension will join us. But first, DNR District Forester Mark Vitosh is here, and we do this once a year. We talk about Christmas trees. It is kind of a peculiar purchase, I think. Many of us go out, buy a giant 6 to 8 foot live tree and drag it into our homes. But do you have an idea how many Christmas trees are sold in Iowa?
Actually, I do. There was a recent release by the Iowa Department of Ag and Land Stewardship, and they estimated around 40,000 were cut recently or on average annually in Iowa. And I think nationally, about 35 million trees are harvested on an annual basis. Now, first alarm, people say, well, you're cutting all these trees down. What are you doing? But they also, the Christmas tree business or industry, plants about 56 million new seedlings every year. So this is a renewable resource that is recyclable. I also found a statistic nationally that about 59% of live trees are recycled on an annual basis. That probably doesn't include the ones that go into the ponds for habitat. I use mine in my backyard in my kind of pile every year, and it just kind of decomposes over time. But I watch the birds and the cardinals every winter kind of jump around it and have fun with it. So these live Christmas trees are utilized and reused, and they are renewable. So it's a key thing. And
it's an agricultural product, just like corn.
Correct. The other estimate I saw in the Iowa Department of Ag news release is there's about 1,500 acres in Iowa that's under Christmas tree production right now.
Well, as we go on, we'll get, a little bit of insight into how Christmas trees are grown and farmed. Mm-hmm. But I want to start with the drought this summer, because we did have such a severe drought. Has that affected the crop for this year?
Probably won't have a big impact on the crop this year. The only thing I can tell you is last year, the fall was pretty dry. And I actually work at a small Christmas tree farm in the general area in my spare time and help out. And we did see a little impact on needle retention on some trees last year. Got a few complaints, not a lot, but a few. So there could be a little impact there. The biggest impact is going to be probably somewhere between 6 to 8 years from now, because pretty much statewide, everyone I've talked to has probably lost over 85% of the seedlings they planted this year, if not more. I haven't talked to a single grower that's had really good luck and survival. Even talked to a couple growers that pulled out the water wagons and just watered, and they just couldn't keep up. I mean, this was a bad year. We all know that. It was terrible. So the thing is, an average acre can grow somewhere between 600 and 1,000 trees per acre. And depending on how many trees that grower sells, an average grower in Iowa probably has 3 to 8 acres. And so they have to have, you figure it takes somewhere between 7 and 12 years to grow a Christmas tree, depending on species and stuff like that. So you have to have a year of the crop every year in that rotation to be able to really fulfill things. Now, nothing ever goes as scheduled. So a lot of growers can probably adapt They can start looking at it now. They can, as it gets closer in 7 to 8 years, if they see there's going to be not as many trees available, they may not sell as many the next year. The grower I work with, I go out and I try to decide that, okay, if we need trees next year, we can only sell this many trees. And a lot of growers I work with another grower in the Cedar Rapids area, and after the first week, he goes out and starts pulling tags off because he's looking, okay, I've sold this many this year, I cut a bunch in this area, I'm going to pull some tags so I have some trees in that area next year. So these people are just like a farmer. They have to look ahead, and they're doing that, and they'll continue to do that. So I don't think in 7 years we're going to be going, Christmas trees are $300 because we don't have any Christmas trees. It'll kind of melt together, I think, but mm-hmm. there may be some impact 6 to 8 years down the road where maybe we don't have as many in the Midwest, because every grower I've talked to has had significant loss with seedlings this year.
What about the seedlings that they planted this year took a really big hit? What about the 2 and 3 year old
trees, which are
pretty small?
We had some reports of trees that they planted last year and a few into the third year. And depending on sites, you know, the thing about drought is it takes out the weak ones. And so in some plantations, you may have rolling hills and you have good soils here, not so good soils there. If they had soils that weren't as good, some of those trees, maybe that were even 4 or 5 years old, may have died this year because of that stress. So these extremes, and even like 2008 did the same thing. We had all that moisture. We saw a loss in some of these extreme sites where maybe it was too clay. So in this case, if they had a real sandy soil and they had trees that are 4 or 5 years old that maybe were kind of off-site and they were kind of challenging the site a little bit, they may have lost a few trees in those sites too. I went to a number of growers and saw some trees 4 or 5 feet tall that did die, but usually they maybe were just a little off-site. Most of the trees that were planted, you know, in good locations, right species, right site, they were 4 or 5 years old, have survived. But we did see some loss of those 2 to 3 year olds too. So it was so extreme that we did see some losses. So again, that could have some impact too.
Well, let's talk about what you do when you bring the tree home, because, of course, we've put up a link on our Facebook page to the Iowa Christmas Tree Growers Association, so you can find a place to buy a Christmas tree close to you. You can go out, cut your own down. There are lots and lots of options, but finding a Christmas tree doesn't seem to be a really big obstacle to most of us. But once we buy that tree and first, before we leave the Christmas tree lot, if that's where we're buying it, what do we need to make sure to do?
Well, I think the thing in Iowa is if you're going to choose your own, and then either some places will let you cut your own, some will cut it for you. There's a lot of different ways. A lot of these farms, too, will also bring in trees from Wisconsin, Minnesota, other places to kind of add to what they have available. Maybe people want a certain species and they don't grow that, so they bring that in. So the biggest thing you can do is, once you get your tree, if it was cut, it was freshly cut. If you're not going to put it up right away, put it somewhere kind of cool, out of the wind, not in the sun. If you can actually put it in a bucket of water, if you're going to wait a couple days. I mean, I've talked to a number of people that bought their trees last weekend and they're not going to put it up till next week. Well, in that case, you should sit in a bucket of water or put it in a cool place, and then right before you put it up, take another half inch to an inch off the base and make a fresh cut before you put it up.
And most Christmas tree lots will do that for you.
Right before you leave. Or if you cut it in the field, you don't need to do that. But if you cut it in the field, even bringing it home, I would probably myself, I'm just that way, unless you're going to put it up right away, if it's going to sit around for a while, even if you cut it in the field, I would come home and take a little bit off, put a fresh cut before you put it up. That's really key. And there's all these different formulas, what you put in the water, yada, 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 this, that. Water. You just put water. I tend to prefer some warm, not scalding hot, but pretty warm water. And the key is to not let the water dry out. Because basically, if you let the water get below and it dries out in your pot or whatever you have it in, you might actually have to take that tree and recut it to get it to take water again. And so keeping that hydrated, I've seen some statistics that trees can take a gallon a day or more. And usually what I notice is in the first 4 or 5 days, it'll just drink like crazy, and then it'll just kind of – it'll keep drinking, but it'll just kind of moderate, and you won't have to fill it as much. But the key is not letting it dry out. And just on your note that it's really easy, you know, to get trees, I follow people in the field where I work, and sometimes people take 2 to 3 hours, and they have to vote and flip coins and pick, and the littlest ones sometimes win, or mom wins, and dad wins. It's kind of fun to watch the things that happen in the decision-making of which tree we're going to buy for our house.
With Christmas tree holders, is there anything that you think needs to be avoided? Because you can buy a number of different kinds that you can put the water in. But is there any one kind that really you don't think works?
I've seen quite a few. And the biggest thing is, you know, finding one that can hold. The biggest mistake I see is people buy small ones and then they get gigantic trees and they just can't hold it. The other thing is finding something that has a pretty good size water container so that you're not watering it every 10 minutes. And there's all kinds of systems where I've seen some where you can put a liter bottle in, fill that, and keep getting water. The key is to match the size of stand that you have and make sure it's durable for the size of tree that you're going to get. You don't want to have a small stand for a huge tree, because I've seen people, they have them tied up against the railings, right, and all kinds of things. And I'm one that I still have the old red little barrel with the green legs and stuff. It's 25 years old, and it still works. I have to use some things to support it once in a while. But again, get a good strong stand that's going to hold that tree.
Have you already brought your tree home this year?
No, my tree is still standing in the field and is going to be cut on Sunday. It was picked out by the family and reserved and will be cut on Sunday.
And what kind is it?
It is a cane and fir.
And how big?
7.5 feet.
All right.
That's the other thing is the greatest tool that people can bring with them is a measuring tape. Is because they'll get out there and say, how tall? And they always measure your ceiling, even if you think you know what it is. This happens all the time. Measure it before you go out and then measure that tree, because we always like to say that it may look kind of small in the field, but it's going to grow a foot when you put it in the house.
Right,
so make sure you measure.
That ceiling out in the field is pretty high.
Right.
Mark Vitosh, DNR District Forester. We've been talking about Christmas trees, and of course you can ask Mark your questions about Christmas trees or any kind of tree. Horticulturist Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension will be here in just a moment to answer your plant questions. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Mark Vitosh, DNR District Forester. We've been talking about Christmas trees, and Richard Giron is here now as well, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here, and I didn't mention this last time we were on the air together, but now that the growing season is well into the past, we're doing Horticulture Day every other week throughout the winter months. We'll be back on weekly in March, but if you need your horticulture fix, you have to time it just right during the winter months. And Mark, before we get to answering questions, and we do have a number of questions, you can join us on the phone, by the way, at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We were talking about how people can spend hours out in the field picking the perfect Christmas tree. How much work goes into growing the perfect Christmas tree?
Well, everyone sees it when they go out to pick their tree, and it's more than just sticking a tree in the ground and letting it grow and then coming back in 7-8 years. It's just like any type of agriculture. It takes a lot of work, and basically growers are working year-round. I mean, they're even doing stuff now for next year and on and on, and so when they start – they have to do what they call site preparation. They may have to cultivate. They may have to use herbicides to develop strips. They really have to pick their sites to match the right trees with their site so the trees grow well. Then there's planting. They may be growing or planting a couple hundred to thousands of trees a year, and usually by hand, because the thing is with Christmas trees is it's not like a corn crop. You don't plow or you don't take everything out in 1 year. So you may have rows that have some big trees, some little trees, usually have units that kind of get cut over time, but everything's done by hand. So they're going in there with a shovel or a spade, digging a little hole in that spot. After trees are cut, we often stump out those stumps or cut them very low. There's a lot of other things, just the care and maintenance. Weed control, mulching, whatever it may be, we can't have grass around those trees in a 2 to 3 foot circle or a 4 or 5 foot wide band. That has to be done all summer. Some mowing. People like a nice, clean looking place when they come up to get their trees. You don't want a bunch of weeds. And then there's shearing. 2 to 3 years after a tree's planted, once you start to get 12 to 15 inches of top growth, that tree has to be sheared every year in shape to get that nice Christmas tree shape. Depending on species, the pines usually have to be sheared by mid to late June. And then other species like the firs can actually be pruned later in the season. But there's, if you got 1,000 trees to use a knife on, a large knife, or they use some electric cutters, that's a lot of work too. And then you throw in insect disease. It's just an ongoing. You throw the drought, weather. It's a lot of work. And they're selling trees anywhere from $27 up to maybe $70 or $80, depending on the size and species. A lot of work.
All right, let's get to the questions because we have a lot of them. And this is the first one's from Hope on our Facebook page. She says, we cut down a tree at a central Iowa tree farm last Saturday. We brought it home and immediately put it in water inside the house. It now has a long vertical split running up the trunk. I remember hearing a pop after we put it up. What did we do wrong? What can we do better next year? Or could this be related to the drought?
I don't think they did anything wrong. It could have just been temperature differences and it started taking water up. The big thing is just keep giving it water, even though it's split. I'm assuming she said in the trunk it split. Mm-hmm. Could have just been a temperature change. I mean, we did have some very cold temperatures, and then you put something in like that inside, starts taking water up. Could have expanded with the moisture that it was getting. Then starting to split. As long as the bark hasn't come off and it's taking water, just keep giving it water. I don't think they did anything wrong. It's just probably the temperature differences.
Okay. Let's go to the phones now. Eric is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is about some living white pines that I have in my yard that we planted about 6-7 years ago. And I'm wanting to start raising the canopy, if I have the term right, the lowest branches, you know. So they're still kind of at ground height, and I'm needing to raise them because they're getting big enough now that they're taking up parts of the yard that I want to be able to walk under the trees, I guess, ultimately. How much can I take on these trees? And should I do it over what time of year, and should I do it over a series of years or something? I guess
okay.
My question.
Okay, Eric, this time of year right now for most trees is a good time to prune. And because on these, you're going to be cutting these back all the way to the trunk to what we call the branch collar, like you would on a deciduous tree.
Okay.
So what I would do is if you have branches, the general rule when you're lifting a tree, you want to try to cut those branches, those lower branches, before they hit 2 inches in diameter.
Okay.
So if you have some branches that are already 3 or 4, you can still prune those. But in general, if you're lifting a tree, any kind of tree, you want to try to minimize the wound that you're going to make. So
okay.
If you can get them around 2 inches, you want to target that. If you're already above that, you can still do it. From the tree's sake, you want to try to prune less than probably 20% of the tree's canopy at any one time. So you're going to slowly lift that up as you go. But again, you want to try to get those branches around 2 inches or so. So, again, you may only take a whirl or two the first year and then just slowly start lifting it up. But the more crown that you can leave on that tree, the better it is going to be for that tree.
Sure. So when you said 2 inches diameter, not circumference.
Correct. 2 inches diameter, back towards the branch. So
okay.
If the tree's been around a while, you probably already have some branches, I would assume, that are probably 3 inches or bigger. That doesn't mean you can't cut those. It's just I'm kind of talking to the masses out here. As we're developing trees, generally when we prune them, we want to try to get them before they're 2 inches. That doesn't mean you can't prune a 4 or 5 inch branch. You just want
right.
to kind of do it before they hit 2 inches, if you can.
Okay. And this time of year is fine. Up until when?
I would say for a pine tree like that, I would say up until early March.
Okay.
And if you go to Iowa State's website, like Extension Forestry or just a general extension site, there's a really good site or publication called Pruning Trees and Shrubs. And on there, it talks about this branch collar and branch ridge I'm talking about. That's really important because you want to prune back to that branch collar so those wounds can seal rather than trees don't heal. They actually seal. So you need to cut back to that collar so that new tissue can develop and close that wound correctly. And on pine trees, it'll look a little bit like you're leaving a stub because it's quite a swelling sometimes, especially on white pine. But you want to be at that collar so that wound can actually seal properly over time. And you don't need any type of wound dressings or anything like that either. The other thing I would do is kind of a three-cut method on those. Go out about 12 inches, make a bottom cut, then make a top cut, cause that branch to fall off, and then you have a stub that you can hold on to, and it's easier to cut that so you don't peel the bark back and make a bigger wound than you want.
All right, Eric, thanks a lot for your call, and good luck with that. John is on the line next from Des Moines. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
When you go to a Christmas tree farm and you purchase the tree, you cut it there, bring it home, do you still have to cut the bottom off, or how much time do you have before you have to cut the bottom again?
Most of the time, John, if you're driving a half an hour home and you're putting the tree up right away, probably not going to be a problem. But if it's going to sit around a couple hours, what I probably would do is just put it in a bucket of water so it starts taking water right away. Or if it's going to sit, even for a couple of days and you don't have the ability to cut it again. I work with a lot of people and we'll cut it. They'll go home and put it up in a couple hours, and I've never really heard anyone have a general problem. If you have the ability to cut it, the fresher the cut is, the better it's going to take water up. So if you're going to wait a couple hours or a day, then I would put a fresh. But if it's a couple hours or so, or if it's in water, you should be all right. You shouldn't have to put another fresh cut on it in that time period.
Okay, thank you.
All right, John, thanks a lot for your call. And Richard, here's a question for you. It is getting to be late in the season, but Joan from Fairfield wants to know if she can still plant her tulip bulbs.
Absolutely, and you want to do it as soon as they can. The ground is not frozen. And as long as the ground is not frozen, you can plant those. Do it as soon as possible. And since it has been so dry, go ahead and water them in so they have a chance to develop some roots. And they should be perfectly fine.
All right. And we're going to have temperatures above freezing all weekend.
This weekend sounds great.
Okay. And on the subject of watering and freezing, this is an email from JM. I have several newly planted trees and shrubs in my yard. With the up and down in the temperatures, do I need to be watering until we get to a cold snap for good?
Well, you can add to this, Richard, or change or whatever. But if they haven't watered for a while, I would say it would be okay to give it a shot. But if they were kind of watering through fall the whole time, we did have some decent moisture and some moisture during the fall, which really helped. But if they haven't watered for a couple months and the soil's kind of dry, to give it one more good soaking, actually, I think will be beneficial, especially on trees that they've planted within the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay. What do you think, Richard?
My thought is if the ground is dry and the ground is not frozen and that tree or shrub is maybe 2 or 3 years old, then I would water.
All right. So another great thing to do this weekend, right?
Yep.
All right. You can join our conversation with your question at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Pete is on the line next from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Pete.
Hi. Thank you. My daughter came home from Girl Scouts with a little evergreen sprout that we planted, and it's 20 years later, and it's 20 feet tall, and it's grown into the sewer line. So I augured it out this week for the first time and got the roots, and a friend told me to use this anti-root chemical, and I'm wondering, is this going to harm the tree?
In most cases, I don't tend to see a lot of problems with those, Pete. The problem with some of those chemicals or that material, a lot of times there's metals, copper and different things, which isn't always the best to be putting down into the toilet or into the sewer system either. So you need to read the label closely. But and most of the time, most of those are root inhibitors of some sort. So they inhibit root growth, but they're not necessarily poisonous to the plant.
Okay.
All right. Pete, that sounds like a pretty special tree.
It's our living Christmas tree.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Nick is up next from Maquoketa. Hi, Nick.
Hi. We have decorative pine trees near the house that need to be trimmed. And I'm wondering, does it need to be below 50 degrees and going to stay below 50 degrees for trimming to avoid insect infestation?
Well, this time of year, Nick, unless we have a winter like last winter and we stay in the 60s and 70s, I mean, we're getting temperatures at night and stuff like that. Even on oak trees, I've been telling people it's okay to prune right now because, I mean, winter is here. We're going to have some nice weather, but if you look at the extended forecast, some of the nights are pretty chilly. But I would go ahead right now. If you want to do some pruning anytime between now and March, you shouldn't have any issues with pine trees or any species as far as pruning.
Okay, but that is why you don't want to trim during the summer, right?
Well, especially like with oak trees, we don't want to prune during the growing season because there is a disease called oak wilt that can actually be transmitted. With pines and stuff, actually, with most pines, we don't have a lot of issues related to wounds on pines in Iowa. So even if you had a branch or two on a pine, the middle of the summer is an okay time to prune, even on species like ash, linden, pine, spruce. If you're cutting actual branches off, back to what we call the branch collar earlier, you can actually do that in the summer on evergreens if you want. When we do our shearing, we have to do that in the summer because we're actually looking at trying to get new bud formation and stuff. But there's not a lot of significant issues related to wounds on pines, so you could actually get away doing it in the summer too if you had to. With any tree, I like to avoid the spring when things are leafing out, and I like to avoid the fall. And then the only other real exception is oaks.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And next up to Christine on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
My call. My husband and I seem to have allergies to, the regular types of Christmas trees. So I've been doing some research and found that Leland cypresses are a possible alternative. However, I can't seem to find any in the area. And I was wondering if there's any local alternatives or if anybody imports them and I can find one and get one.
I don't know if you've
stumped Mark.
Yes, yes. what kind of cypress did you say again?
It's called a Leland cypress, and it's a sterile hybrid. So there's,
yep.
You know, there's no pollen, and it doesn't have a scent, which often sets off allergies. So I was just, I've been trying to find one in the area, like I said, and haven't had much luck. I'm just wondering if you'd heard about these being imported into the area. I know they're really popular in the South.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I have never heard of those being brought into this general area, just because of probably lack of adaptability. And even, I guess, in the lots I've seen, I've never seen it brought in. Did you also, I don't know if that... if that's a true Taxodium, true cypress. The other species I would check into is maybe Arborvita, which has a needle similar to that, to see if that's one species that does grow in Iowa. It's not a cypress, but it's got similar kind of needles. So you may check into that to see if that's on any list. But I don't – have you heard of that, Richard, or anyone bringing those in?
I have not. Okay. I have not. You might find that, for example, if you buy a wreath where they take branches of various trees like pine and fir and sometimes some of these more exotic things. But as far as a Christmas tree, no, no.
All right, Christy.
We apologize.
Yep, thanks a lot for your call and good luck with your search. We're going to take a short break here, and then we'll be back with Horticulture Day. Iowa State University Extension Horticulturist Richard Giron is here today. DNR District Forester Mark Vitosh is here. And they're here, of course, to answer your questions. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can leave a post on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension to answer your plant questions, and Mark Vitosh, DNR District Forester, to answer your tree questions. We've been talking mostly about Christmas trees, but he'll answer any of your tree questions. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Tom is on the line next from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Tom.
Hi, love the show.
Thanks. What's your question?
I've got some rather large pine trees in the backyard that were previously cut, kind of like the previous caller was asking about, so you could walk underneath of them. And I was just wondering, is there a way to encourage those branches to grow back, to get lower branches to have more privacy?
Actually, Tom, they won't. They won't grow back. On pine trees in general, they won't even sprout from the trunk. So once those are gone, they're gone. So one option to consider is there are some evergreen shrubs like yew that could be planted that can tolerate some shade. There are some deciduous shrubs like some of the dogwoods and some of the viburnums that maybe you could, if there's room, that's one thing to consider is to put another layer of plants in there to help you create some screen.
All right. Do you want to, I'm sorry about that, Tom. Do you want some advice on what you might want to put in there?
Oh, sure.
But those species, like I said, use one. The problem with those, deer like them a lot, so you may have some issues there. But there's a number of dogwoods, red twig dogwood, gray dogwood, silky dogwood, nannyberry, well, actually, Arrowwood viburnum, some of those could be, but you're not going to get that growth back. It's just not going to come back. So you either get used to that, or if you have room, try to put something else in there.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot for your call. And next, Joni is on the line in Mount Vernon. Hi, Joni.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a question about bonsai trees as Christmas gifts. For someone, a family member, that is looking to start a hobby. So this is something new, and it was recommended by our kids that they get it for their father. And I'd just like to hear some thoughts, and I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay. Well, Richard, so what's upkeep like on a bonsai tree?
Fairly high maintenance. They have a very shallow root system. Oftentimes, they need to be in a cool place in the wintertime, possibly a garage. The home itself may be too warm for them. But definitely something you can't neglect. And you also have to do some pruning periodically, both branch pruning and root pruning. So they can be very, very nice, very attractive, but I would consider them to be fairly high maintenance.
How often would you need to do something with the tree, like once a week or?
During the wintertime, probably not as much. If they're like in a cool place, maybe the garage or some shed, where they're kind of semi-dormant, so they wouldn't require a great deal of care, but they would require more care during the growing season from spring until fall.
Okay. Next call is from Jean in Slater. Hello, Jean.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I was given a Christmas cactus by a coworker, and I'm really not all that familiar with them, and I'm not seeing any flowering buds. Do I need to be doing anything special?
Well, basically, what you need to do is place those in a room where they receive natural daylight and no light at night, as far as lights being on in that room. Because the Christmas cactus it blooms in response to the short days of fall. And in my case, I have several, and they're basically done blooming already at this point. So they bloom in response to the short days of fall. So put them in a room where they get bright light, but no artificial light at night. Kind of keep them on the dry side. I would say typically water them about once every week or 10 days. Now this year, because they don't have buds right now, they may not bloom at all until next year. There is a possibility oftentimes as the days get longer again in a few weeks, that will also sometimes trigger some blooming. So you may get some bloom in late winter, early spring. If not, you may not get bloom until next year. But they kind of survive or thrive on benign neglect. Not a great deal of care. Just make sure they're well watered every 7 or 10 days. I would fertilize basically in the spring and summer. Use a dilute fertilizer solution. And basically that's about it. They like to be pot bound, so there's no need to repot those frequently. And just choose a room where they get just natural light. I have several, and some of my plants are in rooms where they get light at night, and they don't bloom nearly as well. So that light requirement is very important.
Okay, so it's almost the opposite of a bonsai tree.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Jean, thanks a lot for your call. And let's get to some of the email questions we have here. You can also give us a call, 866-780-9100, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And this is from Barb. She says, I put hardware cloth wrapped with burlap around holly and boxwood shrubs. Should I put straw or something else inside the cages?
I don't think I would. If the ground is dry instead, I'd go out and water them so they have a chance to absorb water so that they can afford to lose some moisture during the winter months. But I don't think I'd fill it with straw, no.
Okay. And this one's from Tanya and Perry. Are there any tree farms who sell smaller live trees that can be planted in the spring?
There are a few, and there are more getting into that, and that's a big thing. It takes a lot of planning. You actually need to dig your hole when the ground isn't frozen ahead of time.
This weekend.
Right. You got to pick a species that's going to match that site. You need to put material like straw or something in that hole covered up so the ground doesn't freeze. And then when you get your tree, you put it in the house, you only put it in there for 5 to 6 days, maybe a week tops. And then you take it back out and maybe put it in an area that is kind of cool but not freezing yet to kind of let it acclimate back to the environment. And then a couple days later, you got to plant it. It takes a lot of work. They can check around. More groups are kind of looking at that. But I would probably look at something that was in a pot. Would be the easiest because when you get it inside, you're going to keep it moist. You don't want to overwater it. There's a lot of work to it. It's a great concept and a great idea, but it does take a lot of work to not fail. There's a lot of potential there to fail if things aren't cared right. You don't get the hole prepared. So you need to see that plan ahead of time because you want to make sure that you don't dig your hole too deep because if you did and you fill it in too much, you could have some problems there. You don't want to plant. You got to make sure you plant that tree just like you would any other tree, and there's a lot of work related to that too.
What if you just wanted to keep the tree inside all winter?
That's probably not going to be it's going to mess that tree up. It's going to be very difficult, and it's going to be difficult for it to adapt once you put it back out.
All right. The next question is from Norma. Is it still advantageous to apply grass seed on bare spots even though the ground is not yet frozen?
Well, You can sow grass seed around Thanksgiving or early December. That's called dormant seeding. And in theory, what happens is when you have freezing and thawing of the soil, you have cracks develop in the soil. And so the seed can then kind of work its way into the soil so you have good seed-soil contact. That's called dormant seeding. The results tend to be not that great. They can vary from fair to poor. The best time to sow grass seed is basically late summer, mid-August to mid-September. Spring is second, and then third is dormant seeding.
All right. Let's get back to the phones, and we've got a couple of lines open for your call at 866-780-9100. Paula is on the line next from Denison. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, I have a couple of clump bamboo planted outside, and I didn't know if I needed to cut them back or just cover them for the winter.
I wouldn't cut them back. If you want to do something, you might put or make a cylinder of hardware cloth or chicken wire fencing around the plant, and then maybe fill that with something like straw so that it does have some winter protection, and then keep that in place until early April. And that may help the crown of the plant survive the winter.
Well, I know our winters have gotten milder, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but Iowa being Iowa, you just never quite sure.
That's true. That's
just
true.
Wait a couple days or a couple hours.
Right.
It'll change. All right, well, thank you.
All right, Paula, thanks a lot for your call. And Patrick is up next in Iowa City. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a question real quick. I babysit for a family that just got a Christmas tree. And my father told me that it was beneficial to add, like, sugar or, like, put some 7-Up in the water. Sorry. Is that beneficial to the tree or no?
Let me answer that because I did that a few years ago.
Okay.
And several days later, we started to smell something. And the smell got worse and worse. And so I was down there crawling underneath the tree with a turkey baster and a sponge and removing the water because it started to smell. So just use water.
The other word I would add to that is ants. Ants and other critters that could still be in the house could be attracted to that and could cause you some issues too. But I agree with Richard. Water is the best. And again, the key is don't let it run out.
Correct.
You know, when you buy cut flowers, you usually get that packet with them. And is that just ascorbic acid, I think, in the packet? Is there anything? This is like cut flowers, kind
right.
of.
And when I read that in the paper, I thought, this does make sense. So I tried it. But then I noticed the smell and
definitely never again.
But the other thing, cut flowers don't tend to last for.
Right.
People are trying to get these trees to last 5 to 7 weeks. Yeah.
And what they're
longer.
Trying to do basically is make sure that fungi and bacteria don't kind of clog the vascular tissue in the cut flowers. So a little bit different.
Okay. Dan is on the line next from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Dan. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, hello. Good morning.
What's your question?
I've got a silver maple tree that's probably 30 years old, and it has limbs coming crotch fairly close to the ground. About 7 years ago, I cut a limb off that was, well, right now the limb is probably 16 inches in diameter that's coming up out of the ground. But where I cut it off, there's maybe a rotted area that's maybe 3 inches in diameter that where it never really truly healed where I cut the limb off. And this is in that 16-inch limb. And I can stick probably a 12-inch rod in that rotted area. So my question is there a way to heal that, or should a person just cut off this big 16-inch limb?
Well, there's a couple things there, Dan. Is you can't cause that. You can't speed up the process of sealing. It's never going to heal, but what the tree tries to do is usually tries to grow over that. If it's not growing over in that wound, that decay is always going to be there, and it's going to continue to expand. The thing you need to think about is, if it's left, is that tree going to be hazardous to the surroundings if it fails? If it's not, if it's out in the backyard, away from things, that tree can live with decay for a long, long time, but it all comes back to stability. If it's not going to be stable and it's potentially going to cause damage to the house or cars or the street or whatever, then, yeah, you do need to look at removing that large portion. The challenge is if you remove that large portion, wherever you cut it back to, there still may be decay. And if that decay is in the remaining portion, then you need to evaluate the rest of that tree to really see if it's stable. But, no, I would avoid, you know, people will put foam, insulation, all kinds of different things into these wounds to try to – the theory is if you put that in there, less moisture will get in, so decay won't go as much. The problem is anything you put in there may seal it, but there's still moisture. So if there's decay there, decay will always be there and it will continue.
Okay. Now, it appears like there's some type of a sawdust in it. I'm sure it's from the decay. But if there's insects in there, and I haven't seen any, I've been digging around and trying to find insects, but I can't find any sign of them. Is there insecticide I should be putting in that wound or just leave it go, like you said?
Well, the sawdust most likely could be from something like carpenter ants, or if there's any, there's a number of actually borers and stuff that will get into deadwood too. But a lot of times if there's quite a bit of sawdust or pretty good sized chunks, carpenter ants will nest. They don't feed, but they will nest in that decay. So I would really watch for that. And if I start to see large black ants coming out of there in the summertime, bringing pieces out with them, then I would treat that for carpenter ants, because just to reduce the nesting and so they're not coming into the house and stuff like that.
All right, Dan, thanks a lot for your call. Todd is up next in Pocahontas County. Hello, Todd.
Hey, good morning. I've seen ads and heard people talk about a product that you flush occasionally to keep the drains clear of tree roots. I live in town, have city plumbing. I just was wondering, in a drought like this, you know, are those roots apt to seek out that drainage?
Well, the way I always look at it, Todd, is, you know, trees don't really seek out water. They just, if the moisture's there, they're going to grow there. So if there's an opening for those roots, they're going to take advantage of that opening. Roots will grow where the conditions are adaptable. So, you know, in a drought situation, if there's moisture nearby and it happens to be coming from the pipes, that's where they're going to go. So, you know, the drought may make that more extreme just because there's no other moisture, but they don't have radar, but they do basically grow where that moisture is available. And if there's moisture there, they're not going to leave. So they're going to expand in those areas.
Have you heard of a product that you put down every now and then to keep the drains free of roots?
There are a number of products out there. And what I told, we had a caller earlier, is I would always read the label. And because a number of those products have, I believe, you can help me, Richard, if you remember, I think copper and different some metals that you don't necessarily want to flush a lot down the toilet. You need to really read the label and see how often it should be used and those kind of things, so you're not overusing it.
Todd, thanks a lot for your call, and I guess we're out of time for today. The hour flies by. Mark Vitosh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back with Horticulture Day, not next Friday, but the Friday after that. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Allison Sullivan. Alyssa Weiss gave us technical support in Ames today. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbe. Monday on the show, I'll talk with Carolyn Fraser, the editor of the Library of America collection of the works of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.